Welcome to the Conversations About Consultation podcast. I'm Zara Ahmed, and you're here listening to some of the conversations that myself and my co-hosts, Dr. Emily Kanade and Bethany Shanola, have had with guests from around the world about consultation and psychology. We all have a keen interest in consultation and hope that this podcast offers a platform to discuss different views about the topic and future directions of consultation. We hope that you enjoy listening to these conversations, and if you'd like to have any further information or are interested in being a guest, please feel free to get in touch and let us know via email or Blue Sky. Hi, Bethany. It's so lovely to be introducing you as our new co-host today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
I wondered if you wanted to introduce yourself and a little bit about kind of your journey to training as an educational psychologist.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Bethany Atenoke-Shonala, pronouns she, her. I'm a second year trainee child community educational psychologist at Tavistock and Portman currently. In terms of my journey to coming to educational psychology, so it was a bit of a relatively late coming to educational psychology. I started off with a really keen interest in social, emotional, mental health. So I was more actually in clinical spaces. So my previous work was as an educational mental health practitioner. So I've worked in two London boroughs, kind of doing one-to-one group workshop-based, CBT-based work around, you know, more common issues found in schools or amongst young people, like low mood, anxiety, behavior that challenges, kind of those sorts of things. One thing that I did like about EMHP role, so that's the abbreviation, was that it was in schools, whereas traditionally what I'd been taught about psychology and the clinical-based psychology model was that people are brought to you. And it was it's a relatively recent rule following the, I think it's 2015 Green Paper. So then it meant that we were actually in community, which was something I had really wanted. And that also gave me some more exposure to the UK education system and how it intersects with like SEMH and how it's managed in that context. And then I had an increasing desire to not be in the clinic. I had an increasing desire to want to be in schools, and because that's where the young people are spending the majority of their time and it felt more accessible. And then I had the privilege of interacting with a few educational psychologists by virtue of my training. So I was supervised by educational psychologists, and that was my first experience of them. And I think there was something that seemed a bit freeing about educational psychology in the model, even though we're kind of bound by the systems of education in the same way that maybe clinical is bound by the system of the NHS currently. There was something about the ability to adapt practice to need that felt a bit different, as opposed to like first line intervention stuff from maybe NICE-based guidelines, et cetera. Not to say there's not an evidence base, but there was a more liberal way of approaching it. So then I made a very kind of informed but last minute choice to apply to the doctorate. And I applied to both. And then I had to really think about what did I want my future practice to look like and where did I want to be. And then I ended up picking educational psychology. So that's how I made my way here.
Wow, and we're so lucky to have you in the educational psychology field. I'm so excited to kind of like learn more about your kind of experience coming up to the doctorate. You said something around the EMHP role gave you exposure to the UK education system.
Oh yeah, so I'm not...
Where did you go to school?
I'm not educated in the UK. I did go to sick form in Wales, but I feel like that was a very specific experience. So I'm Ghanaian and Nigerian ethnically, so I spent majority of my life in Ghana. So I was raised on like the IGCSE system, which is the Cambridge IGCSE system, but it's not the same as actually attending a school in the UK. It's like, I feel like it's an in-between of, it wasn't quite the like WASI local education system, but it wasn't quite GCSE, A-level, T-level, you know, BTEC kind of system either. So I had some understanding of what was being learned, but not what it actually felt like to be as like a student in a school in England, for example.
I'm so curious, kind of like, what was the first thing you picked up when you're like, I want to know what it feels like to be a UK child within the education? What did you kind of, what was your first feeling about it?
Some of it was like, there was some kind of reassurance of, oh, okay, some of this experience of school is kind of similar across, regardless of where you go. So some of that was reassuring of, okay, everyone's kind of, school kind of is the way it is everywhere. But there was something about, it's really performance driven, which was a thing I maybe didn't anticipate. I used to think that the West African education system, and it is incredibly performance driven, but it felt like archaic in that way. But there's something about maybe the fact that even though we keep updating curriculum and stuff, we're moving more and more to just proving knowledge that you know something as opposed to like your ability to apply and transfer things, which is what I thought I'd get m more a vibe of when I came here. So I was surprised to see that it was more similar than I thought in that way, but almost like, should it be?
Really interesting. And it's really
Yeah.
lovely to kind of draw parallels, like similarities and differences across different education systems. I mean, some of my work, I worked in Dubai, so I can kind of see some of the differences and similarities as well. But I was in an IB school, so quite a different curriculum kind of experience.
Definitely. Yeah, a bit intense actually. But I think there's something about IB that's interesting in terms of like kind of the autonomy of your learning of you have to learn, you have to figure out what it is you want to get from this learning.
Yeah, I feel like it's quite a lot of application. But as in, like, there's a different balance in terms of application and knowledge as you're different to the UK, I guess, and different to West Africa. But really interesting. I guess also in your EMHP role, you said, you were really lucky to be supervised by EPs. I wonder if you also kind of had any experience in consultation and kind of consulting or observing consultations in that role or.
No, so that was kind of the thing that made me. It was almost like the scary and the curious thing of when I was starting the doctorate of, oh, like I know what intervention looks like, I know what assessment looks like, I know what training looks like, I know what research looks like. But consultation was the big one of, I kind of generally know what consultation can be defined as, but I didn't know what that would look like. I didn't have the experience of being, for example, like a consultee in or even just to observe, because even though I was supervised by educational psychologists, that was on the academic side. On the practical work-based side, I was supervised by mental health nurses and CBT therapists and family therapists. So multidisciplinary knowledge, which was helpful and useful to apply to future like multidisciplinary consultations, but the experience of consultation in its raw form I hadn't had.
That's really interesting. So I guess when you first kind of started coming into contact with it, I would assume is during your training, I'm guessing last year when you were in your first year of the doctorate. What was your kind of experience or kind of takeaways maybe of the consultation? What do you think about it now? Because I guess you said it was one of your newer things that you were coming into during the training.
I think initially I was like, I was trying to make it this really distinct thing that I could categorize as to what is consultation that makes it different from like inter like you know, what is it? I wanted it to be nice and discreet and neat. And I don't necessarily think it is nice and discreet and neat, but I do think the main thing I took away from it was that adult helping relationship, in terms of in a and it being maybe an effective means of meeting the needs of multiple children, especially in a system that is quite stressed. I think that was one of the main things I took away from it, because I'm someone who traditionally really likes one-to-one work. I want to be on the field, but that's not realistic. And it's unsustainable, and there's too many children and too many schools, and I'm not always the best placed person to do the thing. But I guess empowering people is, especially when you think about that, oh, giving psychology away or giving knowledge away, I think consultation felt like a good place to do that. And then also it felt like leveling the playing field a bit in the way that we were taught about it in PIC, like the professional. No, yeah, professional is PIC, right? I'm trying to remember all the
Sorry,
acronyms still. But I think there was something about it that made me realize, like, especially because in terms of how you could be positioned in consultation, how you present consultation and like an expert model versus like a collaborative model versus all these things, I think there was something about letting people know that they might actually have the knowledge to be able to do the thing that they are coming to ask about. And it's about reframing how they think about it. I thought that was quite valuable.
Yeah, and it's kind of like what you were saying in terms of like you're almost giving some psychology away, you're almost balancing some of the power dynamics and kind of empowering the consultee in a way. So I guess kind of you're here, we're introducing you as a co-host. So for me, I'm assuming you have some interesting consultations. So I guess where did your interest really, well, where was it sparked from? Because obviously you've been doing the training and the module that we have at the TAVI. But yeah, what's kind of interested you to kind of continue that learning and talking about consultation, really?
I think it was sparked mostly by the lectures. And then also, as I've been on placement, trying to see how what I learn in theory, how it exists in practice, and like, oh, and what can be learned of practice to adjust theory and vice versa. I think there's so many ways of doing consultation that functions, like they have very different functions. And then even there's new ways of consulting that can emerge as well. So I'm curious to see like what is out there and how does that reflect like where we are, like our social context and the way in which we need to do work. So, and it's a big area where I feel like it's more emerging for me. So it feels like to immerse myself and kind of hear more from people would only be beneficial. So it feels quite like a privilege to be able to maybe engage in those conversations more directly.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's kind of making me think a little bit about something you said a bit earlier around, you made a conscious but quick decision around deciding that maybe clinical setting isn't where you want to be, and that actually something about being in the community or being in an education kind of there's something different that that allows you to have. Yeah, and kind of maybe how that sits with consultation as well. Yeah.
Definitely.
And I guess I'm also interested, like you were saying, you want to hear more about it. You're quite curious about kind of this new area of learning or new area of practice. Is there anything you want to hear about from our future guests or anything you're really interested about, something you really want to kind of delve into?
Oh, that's a good question. I need to think about that. What do I want to hear? I'm kind of curious as to what is new. I know I feel like there's not a lot of, or maybe that I've not heard of, there's not a lot of new developments around consultation in terms of people seem to have been doing consultation kind of similarly for a long time. And I'm wondering about does that still fit? Because it could be that it just still fits, and if it's not broken, don't fix it. But I'm also curious if people are coming up with new ways of consulting, and if they are more so informed by not just us as professionals, but by community response in terms of, well, do community members, do schools, young people, families, do they think the way we're consulting with them is beneficial? Do they think it needs to change, and do they have input in that? I'm curious about those kind of things.
Yeah, and I think that's something that was actually brought up by our last co-hosts, Jess and Emily, in terms of how are we seeking that feedback and kind of what are we getting feedback on and from who? And I think it's a big area of development for consultation in terms of how are we accessing that feedback? What are we asking them to feedback on? Because I guess what we think is consultation might not also be what they would like out of the consultation. So kind of that difference in perspectives, really, about what consultation is. Like you said right at the beginning, I thought consultation was going to be this really neat thing.
No, it wasn't. No, it was, even when you're talking, it was just making me think even about like what it means to be empowered in the context of consultation, like who determines what will be empowering.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, and there's no one answer, but it is one of those things I'm curious about.
Yeah. It's a really good point. Well, I guess we can think about that some of that with our guests in terms of how we balance that power, who is kind of defining that power, and how we'll get feedback and what we do with that feedback. I really liked what you said earlier in terms of research informing practice, but also practice informing research, and how we can use that to kind of develop our ways of working. Awesome. I am really excited to
Same. Same.
with you and for the upcoming season.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.